From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Do you remember the internet from like the mid-2000s? If so, then you'll definitely remember Busted Tees. It was a novelty t-shirt company selling shirts that say funny things like Bigfoot, hide and seek champion, and are you a beaver? 'Cause damn. And they were everywhere on banner ads, or at least they were for me because I was a recent college graduate in the mid-2000s and definitely appreciated a funny shirt. So those ads were everywhere. Today, you don't see Busted Tees so much anymore, and that's in part because the one-time owner of Busted Tees has a very action-oriented philosophy about what it takes to run a successful business. Here it is.
You know, we used to say, like, you know, Apple's not sitting around upset that they killed the iPod with the iPhone, right? Like, kill your business with a better business.
That's Adam Schwartz, one-time co-owner of Busted Tees, until he functionally launched a competitor to his own company and practically killed it off. And we'll tell that whole story in a minute, but first, let's just pause on what he said there. Kill your business with a better business. That's what he said. And as soon as he said that, I jotted it down and then decided to use it as the title of this episode because it's such an important insight into what it takes to run a successful business. I mean, just think about the implications there. To kill a business means to not be precious about what you own or what you've built. It means looking coldly and strategically at what you have and accepting that it works or that it doesn't. It means believing that tomorrow can always be better than today. Here's another way of looking at it, according to Adam.
If I were giving advice to, you know, an entrepreneur I was advising, I would say that you should plan to pivot instead of imagining a pivot as a last-ditch effort to course correct.
In other words, change is inevitable. And when you see change like that, well, then change isn't really change at all. It's just the next step in a natural evolution. But okay, enough of the abstractions. In this episode, I want to show you that philosophy in action and how Adam and his business partner used it to go on quite a journey through the business of t-shirts. They started with Busted Tees and ended up somewhere quite different. And I should say, with a very nice $41 million sale of their next company. That's a pretty nice validation of killing your business with a better business. So what's going on here? We'll get into it all right after the break. If you want to take risks and solve problems, you need insurance that can protect you along the way. That's what Hiscox specializes in. Hiscox is the business insurance expert and knows that every business is as unique as a fingerprint. That's why it tailors intelligent solutions to fit every business's specific needs, and as a result, leaves entrepreneurs feeling well protected. Its customer service has a 97% rating. Get a quote or purchase a policy at hiscox.com. That's hiscox.com. All right, we're back. So to understand where Busted Tees came from, we actually have to rewind to a time before Busted Tees, which also, I should note, is a time before Adam actually got involved in the company. So in 1999, a guy named Josh Abramson co-founds College Humor, a site full of funny videos and goofy other stuff that mostly appealed to college-age dudes. College Humor became popular, as anyone in college during its heyday can attest to, but it was having trouble actually making money. So in 2004, the co-founders created a t-shirt company called Busted Tees, essentially as a way to make money for College Humor. And it worked. Busted Tees brought in millions of dollars and helped College Humor grow into a giant of its day. Eventually, the internet giant IAC acquired College Humor and Busted Tees, and its founders went to work for IAC. But 2011 comes, and Josh is ready to leave IAC, and he really wants to take Busted Tees with him. Which is to say, he wants to buy Busted Tees back from IAC, which had originally bought it from him. Because the way Josh saw it, IAC wasn't doing a lot with Busted Tees, and Josh felt that there was a lot of untapped potential there. So through a mutual friend, Josh gets connected with Adam. At the time, Adam was exiting a B2B company and was looking for his next move, and he agreed with Josh. There was a lot of potential in Busted Tees. First of all, it was already a revenue-generating business with a recognizable brand name. And also, although it was born in an earlier era of the internet, by 2011, it was existing in a time where internet culture was fully blooming.
I felt like there was something interesting within the concept of content to commerce, that taking memes, taking internet culture, taking sort of very internet-y content and turning that into products was just an interesting model and space to play in, and one that I thought had potential. I mean, I wasn't frankly sure where that would go, but I thought that there were logical roads for it to take.
So Josh and Adam buy Busted Tees, and Adam becomes COO. And in the next 2 years, they essentially double the business. Busted Tees is thriving, and they're feeling really good about this bet they made. And how were they doing it? Adam says it was all about really understanding e-commerce optimization. So, okay, e-commerce people, ready to fully geek out? Here we go.
I mean, effectively, what led to that was really optimizing the conversion funnels on the site, really optimizing retention channels, and doing a lot of very optimized paid advertising, Facebook display, Google, all that stuff. I mean, we really did a lot of serious work to deliver conversions profitably in that time period. That's what became the interesting challenge for me personally, was how can we acquire customers profitably who stick around?
So in other words, Adam was figuring out how best to target potential t-shirt customers with advertisements and then drive them to buy on Busted Tees. He was doing it very, very strategically. But that was about to become a lot harder because in 2013, the e-commerce environment started to change in a big way. Two very, very buzzy startup concepts popped up. You'll no doubt remember them. There was the flash sale site Fab.com and daily deals site Groupon. And these companies had a lot of money and a lot of competitors all following the same model. And all of them combined just had crazy amounts of investors' money. And they spent all that money on online advertising, which meant that as they swallowed up more and more of the online inventory, the cost of advertising went up. And that had a serious impact on a company like Busted Tees.
The cost of acquisition started to go sharply up because all of the impressions were being bought up by those companies and those types of companies who had raised tons of money, were generating tons of cash flow, and were spending between, you know, 40 and 80 cents on the dollar to acquire a customer, where we're spending 10 or 15 cents on the dollar.
Busted Tees was going to have to make some kind of big change in order to survive. The economies of its old business model just was literally disappearing. I mean, it didn't make sense to run this t-shirt company the same way if ads were suddenly so expensive. So the Busted Tees team did what many others would probably do. They sat back and thought, well, crap, should we just join the trend to become a flash sale site?
We had a serious conversation about pivoting the business to a completely flash sale model that would shift, you know, that would maybe still do apparel, but that would really shift to the sort of products that Fab.com was selling, sort of kitschy home goods and all that stuff.
And in fact, they started testing that kind of stuff out. They created sections on their site where they sold kitschy products, and they added a deal of the day section and ran some flash sale models. They were essentially MVPing a new business model. But something just nagged at Adam about this. He felt like, you know, maybe this is just a race to the bottom. Because really, there were two ways to look at these flash sale sites and daily deals sites. The first way was, wow, these are hot concepts and investors are really into them and customers seem excited. But the second, more realistic way was, these concepts require companies to raise a lot of money and then burn through that money trying to acquire customers as fast as possible. And the only way to compete with them is to play that game. And that game may just be unwinnable. Now, remember how in the first 2 years of him running Busted Tees, Adam was having fun optimizing his ad placements as a way to acquire new customers? Well, once the flash sale and daily deals sites got involved, he said he'd reached a point where he was just getting exhausted by the process and just didn't feel like it was a long-term way to win. I asked Adam to break this down for me.
When you're trying to grow only through paid, and you're not just dumping money, right? You're not just spending it on any ad that someone will sell you, you're trying to make it work. The actual work of that is incredibly meticulous. What it involves is creating hundreds of targeting variations, hundreds of creative variations, text variations, and testing all of those on multiple platforms, and then testing the traffic funnel behavior that comes through those different testing variations, and then analyzing the data and finding easily maybe 5 out of 100 winners that then you can take to the next level. And you run those for successfully for maybe 3 or 6 months, and those are making money for you. And then the market changes, the prices change, and you have to start all over again. And after doing that for 2 years, you feel like you're in a hamster wheel.
Because, of course, you never get anywhere in a hamster wheel. The only thing you can do is continue to run in place, doing this process over and over and over again, trying to eke out a little bit of an advantage. And he wasn't in the kind of business where customers would ever become brand loyal and order a new novelty shirt every month. Even if he moved onto the flash sales, he'd still be just stuck chasing customers with advertisements. No, Adam decided, they needed a new plan, and maybe even a new business. Now, as it happens, around the same time in 2013, t-shirt printing technology started to drastically improve. A company had created a new machine that could print shirts at high quality on demand, which meant that a t-shirt company didn't need to create inventory. It could just print as needed. Adam and Josh weren't entirely sure what to do with this, but it got them talking about what kind of business they were actually running and what it meant to run a tech company, which they technically were, but, you know, not really.
You know, when I got into tech, it was because I wanted to play with and wield the power of the internet for something. And what we were doing with Busted Tees was running a very traditional retail business that my grandfather could have been running. And we were just using the internet as a distribution channel, which really isn't that powerful or interesting. You're really not leveraging the internet for its power. And where the internet is powerful is in communities and is in user-generated content.
In fact, Josh's old brands were starting to play that out. College Humor, which was a site based on content, had slowed. But Vimeo, a site based on communities and user-generated content, it's a video platform, and Josh was a part of its founding, and it's also owned by IAC, that was thriving. And so Josh and Adam started to think, how could they harness community and user-generated content in the world of t-shirts and then build a business that didn't rely upon nonstop advertising? And then it hit them. They could create what is essentially the Vimeo for graphic artists, a place where artists can create and sell their own t-shirts. But not just in some cafe press kind of way, where it's just a place for anyone to upload an image and then sell some crappy merch. No, they'd create a place where artists are hand-selected and invited, and there's a support staff to help them make the absolute coolest and most interesting t-shirts possible.
We could let them build it, and we had the thesis that two things would happen as a result. Number one, each of those artists would drive social traffic to their store and to the site. That was actually our number one hypothesis that we thought would happen. And number two, because we would have so much content, because there would be no inventory, we would be able to be much more competitive in organic search, because ultimately, organic search is a content game.
The whole evolution took about 8 months, from the time they wondered if they should chase fab.com into flash sale world to the time where they came up with this community-oriented t-shirt company. And then they decided to pull the trigger. It happened really fast.
We did it fairly unceremoniously. We said, we don't think Busted Tees is going to continue to grow the way that it has been. So let's take a couple $100,000 out of the business and let's just build an MVP of the thing that we're talking about and see if there's anything there.
Because why not, right? It's not like Busted Tees was going to miraculously turn its fortunes around. This is the kind of decisiveness required to be an entrepreneur. You don't sit around wondering. You act and learn from what happens next. So they launched this new site, which they call teepublic.com, as in teepublic.com. And what happens next is pretty great for Adam and Josh. Within a year, teepublic had grown equal in size to Busted Tees. Within a year! For the next few years after that, it would keep doubling in size. Their thesis was totally right. This kind of business didn't require a ton of money spent on advertising. Instead, it was all about acquiring the right artists and helping them build their brands and optimize their pages. They were taking everything they'd learned about selling t-shirts and teaching it to an ever-growing number of individual t-shirt-making artists on TeePublic.
We found mathematical correlations between the artists that we were adding to the platform, you know, the amount of art that they were adding to the platform, and, you know, the downstream effects of that in traffic and revenue.
Eventually, they started expanding into new categories, so artists' work could be sold on smartphone cases, pillows, and tons of other stuff. And as all of this was happening, what was going on with Busted Tees? Well, it still existed, but
it started to get sort of smaller and smaller over the years. Certainly, our focus really shifted, you know, to TeePublic. And I, you know, even on a personal level, I mean, there came a point fairly early on where I couldn't justify even spending an hour on Busted Tees because I thought it was a better hour spent on TeePublic.
Here it is. Adam and Josh had effectively killed their business with a better business, but they didn't kill it off completely. Instead, they found a way to cash out on both. Towards the end of 2018, Adam and Josh sold off both of their t-shirt businesses. TeePublic was acquired for $41 million by Redbubble.com, an Australian competitor. And Busted Tees was acquired for what I must imagine is a smaller amount of money by a t-shirt company in Michigan called Sunfrog. Adam is going to stay working with TeePublic, and Josh is moving on to his next adventure. So it's a happy ending for a t-shirt company that once seemed on the verge of failure. Adam and Josh pivoted away from Busted Tees and in the process came up with an idea that was of the moment and solved for all the problems that they were facing with their older company. It's a lesson that Adam says will really stick with him.
You know, you go into the space that you want to go into, and you're going to go in with it at whatever model that you're going to go in with. And I would say, get 2 years in and don't be afraid to stop and say, what is everything that is wrong with this model and this business? Just kill it. Just kill the whole thing and start over with exactly the better version. And I think sunk cost fallacy is so present in the lives of entrepreneurs where they've put their sweat into this particular website and product and concept over 2 years, even to the extent that they think, well, I could pivot it, but it'd still be this. And it's like, maybe it's not that. Maybe it's a completely different thing with a completely different model, which I would say TeePublic really, it's a completely different thing with a completely different model. That's it, but it's roughly in the same space. And I think when you go start that business, you are well equipped to get everything right.
What does it mean to kill your business with a better business? It means that you can't find the right business without first starting the wrong one. Failure isn't failure, it's the passageway, the opportunity to learn about what works and what doesn't. That's an important insight. Hey, maybe someone can find a way to put it on a t-shirt. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.